everyone. Mike Nelson here. Thank you, Patreon people, for supporting us. This is an extra, again, extra in the extra special. I like to use words where they don't really belong. But no, this is special because I've asked back a guest who, he was so popular. Really, we had people storming 372.
Oh, Mike, my phone just rang off.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy.
Blew up.
It was crazy. Yeah.
You know how they do it on movies where they go like, I can't believe you went viral. Now you're like a wart girl. And then they go to the office and everyone's looking at me. Yeah. That's what this was like talking about this. Yes. Your life has changed.
Oh, absolutely, Mike.
You pulled up in a solid gold limousine, which I thought was weird.
Yeah, and I got...
Does that even work?
It's heavy.
The engine block has to melt every time you...
We damaged your street pretty badly pulling in here.
There was molten gold all over the place.
My neighbors were not good.
Scraping it off the asphalt. It was a weird moment. It's weird. It's also weird that the podcast changed you that much. But while you're still... I don't think you've changed enough that you can't tell these two stories of our college years. And I know everyone's like going, ugh.
They're going, ugh, who is this guy?
Old
again?
Guys who talking yeah. about college stories. But there's just a few peculiarities to it that I think make it worth telling. Correct?
I would absolutely agree, Mike.
Okay.
I would absolutely agree.
So we have just two quick tales. It's not like, like Shooter and I got so wasted, man.
No, that's not what we're going to do.
So we have two peculiar stories, and we'll stir them together in a blend that will make you so happy. It'll be like your morning coffee, only better.
And then people will be looking for me online, you know. Christopher Bussey on, you know, because I'm all over social media.
Well, you're already famous.
Well, there's that, yeah.
I mean, I saw you at, I saw you with Drake the other day. What are you doing with him, by the way? I'm not sure. He seems a shady character. I want to talk to you about
just it. Just a bit shady.
Yeah.
Just a bit shady. yeah. And
anyway, so for this first story is hinges on a peculiar sentence, which is absolutely true. So, Chris, could you take it over?
And I won't reveal the sentence quite yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Because what I think we want to do is set this up. It was a spring day late in our college career, and you and me and a female friend who played softball for the River Falls team decided to get out into the sunshine and just do something and wandered to the fields with a ball, softball and a bat and some gloves, and we were just going to hit the ball around and be outside.
Yeah, as I recall, there was some sort of sadness or that thing of like, you know, you're in a dorm room and you're like, I got this and this. You know, when to quote the great Ryan Adams, is that it? When you're young, you get sad. We were sad, right?
Probably
a little sad. And probably so we're like, sad. Let's just, come on, it's a sunny day. Let's go and do something, which I think is smart for everyone.
Agreed. Something I don't do now at all.
Get out and do anything?
Ever.
Yeah, no, it's terrible for us.
Oh, my God.
Oh, at our age? Oh,
I mean,
don't even attempt
We're sitting here in a darkened studio with the shades pulled. It's a beautiful day outside.
No, sit on a couch and watch Office reruns. That's the only, the best thing for your soul.
Thank you.
I think.
Anyway, so we're out there, young, vibrant kids, and we're on a softball complex in River Falls near their arena, their hockey arena and their large gathering place for a bunch of different events. And as we get there, because we're just going to knock the ball around a bit, throw the ball around a bit, we hear, if you recall, we hear a sound coming from that arena that sounded to me, because we're in a college that is referred to as Cowtown USA or Moo U.
Yeah, sure.
It sounded like a bull bellowing.
Yes. Which we heard, there were two, by the way, we had, at our campus, we had two farms, as you'll recall.
Yes.
Because we would bring in, people laugh at this, Moo You, whatever. The silo was invented in River Falls.
Silo Tech, they also called it.
Yes, yeah. Silo Tech. Yeah. But people would come from impoverished countries to learn how to farm at our place. So we had many, many Nigerian students.
Absolutely. It was
many African
wonderfully
students.
Diverse yeah. campus, even back in the mid 80s.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, the fact that we were a bunch of Cowtown yokels, although true, also has a little flip side to it, is that it was an actual they had farming technology.
Absolutely. And I think that is still an emphasis at River Falls
yes.
as well.
MUU, Xylotech.
As it should be.
Yes.
So we arrive, and you are standing at home plate.
Yeah.
And our friend Ruth is between second and third in the shortstop position, and I'm between first and second, kind of in shallow right field, and you're stinging the ball, like you're hitting ground balls with eyes.
Laying them down. Fungo bat. Yeah, come on. Get to that. Run to your right.
That's just,
scoop that ball.
That's what we're doing. We're just screwing around.
Yeah.
And I had just handled a ball that you had hit to me and was going to throw it back toward your way. And you are standing there, and I can't even describe the expression on your face. Incredulous, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And you were looking beyond me, over my shoulders, out into right field.
Yes, we've all had this experience when someone all of a sudden stops looking at you, drops everything and does something where they're like, and you there's nothing you can do. You're like, all right, this is over. Whatever I was talking about is over. And this is what happened.
And I turned around, and behind me, in right field, and probably no more than 30 yards from me, is an elephant.
A very, very large and very alive elephant.
There was an elephant in right field.
In right field. And so I made the obvious exclamation that a person would do in this situation. I said, hey, and I took the bat and pointed, there's an elephant in right field.
And what was weirdest about it is, as if that wasn't weird enough, it was... There was nothing else. It's not like there were 100 people around it or it was just slowly kind of walking toward us. Doo-dee-doo.
It was an elephant on its own in our right field.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. What we later, I think when we walked up to it, because we're like, because there's no protocol, right? What do you do?
Not from a kid from Prior Lake, Minnesota. There's no protocol for an elephant in right field. Zero.
There was no posters on the wall of the University of Wisconsin River Falls that said, if you should see an elephant in right field when you are playing intramural baseball, here are the steps you should take.
Nope. And not one my dad covered ever in any of his lessons.
Exactly. So we were on our own.
Yeah.
And so I believe there was caution. The elephant did not seem aggressive. But again, I don't know elephants. I can't read elephant behavior. It just seems like. But we walked up to it. And I believe it was on a, it had like a cement block.
Yeah, it had pulled loose of its tether. And it wasn't too long after that a trainer came running from the pavilion, from the arena, the hockey arena. And as we found out, the circus was in town.
Yes.
The circus was setting up
there's the explanation.
And the bull we had heard earlier was indeed it was a lion roaring.
Yes.
Which is a sound that is so huge to hear in person as opposed to watching on National Geographic Channel. My God, that's a big sound. We thought it was an amplified something coming from. Nope. It was just. The cage is just around the other side, and one of the male lions had just decided, I got something to say.
I would say, and I hate this. I hate to bring this up because I'll take it up on myself. Let me do it this way. How great would the story be if that elephant had snapped its tether and run at me, picked me up, and just bashed my head against the first base again home plate, and into a bloody pulp, and then you guys would go like, did you know that an elephant killed my friend? then you'd have that would be a great story.
Then you could
sympathy.
It would be a different story, that's for sure.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
That's how we don't know. We were close to that. That's what I'm saying. We got so close to a great story. This is a good story, but a great story would have been if that elephant would have, and then or like sort of like plucked me off like a peanut and just like took my flesh and then left my bones behind.
Dude, we're going back to what we talked about several times ago when I was here about your fear of being killed by a serial killer. I mean, I didn't know you had a fear of being killed by an elephant as well.
Fear. I just think that it would make a great story. I wish the story had been better for your sake.
Well, I appreciate you thinking of me being able to tell this story. I've told this story a lot. People are fascinated by this story.
Yes.
And the best thing about it was that initial turning around, there was no context other than...
No, you could see... normally you walk up to something strange. You're like, oh my gosh, bunch of trucks around, police. Oh, somebody hit that wall. You know what I mean? This is like, nope.
Total non sequitur.
It was just total non sequitur. In our right field. Yep. He's just sort of like he's lazily eating grass. He's just kind of wandering around, swinging his trunk.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. It was.
And there's no one around him.
No.
No human.
Nope.
No one going like, oh, goodness.
Where's that elephant?
This elephant has.
Yeah. Nope.
That made it the best, most absurd story.
A great one. But. There's another one I think we need to get to today too, and it has to do with the weekend, which I think was in the spring of one year. I don't remember, in college, where you went to the bursar's office.
Oh yes, okay, all right. We'll wrap this up with this because this is great. So I was in a play with Chris was a co-star in my play. We were roommates at the time, and I go to the bursar's office to make my payment for my college, which, you know, college back then was, I mean, this was cheap.
Oh,
I mean,
if
you found some bills crumpled up under your...
Yeah, you could pay off
the
couch, semester.
You're like, I don't
know. It was a trimester.
Here's for one of the trimesters.
Right. Yeah.
But the woman the bursar, she goes, oh, are you, oh, Michael J. Nelson. Okay, you won this acting scholarship. I'm like, I did not know that I was up for an acting scholarship. I don't know what it is. She's like, she like eyes it and she goes, yes, it's the Sanford Sizey Award. Mm. And I'll say his name because I think he's
he's a real thing.
Distinguished person
at
the
absolutely
college. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So just apply that to the, what I owe you.
Do the math and tell me what I owe you.
She's like, oh no, I can't. It's written out to you.
It's a physical check.
It's a physical check.
Weird.
For, as I recall, and I'm sorry, things are foggy through the distance, but it's like not that much.
Take a guess.
I'm gonna say it was $250.
Which is like $6 million in 2023.
Yes, yeah, I mean, doing inflation and all that. It's like six, so it was just like, oh my God. So I go like, what
do I do with this?
What do I do? I'm 20 years old. I have no idea. I'm like, what should I do? She goes, I don't know. It's your money. Just take it and go cash it. cash.
And you said I can
cash it?
I can cash it for cash?
She goes, it's written out to you. And she like stabs it out to me. And I'm like, okay. So I cannot believe this is happening because I literally can't. We used to put this in perspective, we used to go to Hardee's once a month because it was too expensive.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah.
So we'd go like, wow, there's a Hardee's in town, which is obviously, people, the greatest restaurant in River Falls.
Yeah. Hello. Yes.
Yeah. We have to go to Hardee's and get one of their big burgers.
Plus, it was right across the street from the campus.
Right.
That helped.
It was like, I can't afford to go. Like, these guys who are going to Hardee's, I'm like, what are you, millionaires? How are you affording this? What do you do? Are you the king of England? You're going to Hardee's. So once a month, we'd go like, hey, guys.
Gonna splurge.
Pool your money. We'll go to Hardee's.
God.
So she hands me the check. I go to the bank, and I feel like I'm looking up at the cameras like, do I spray them with black before I try to cash this check? I'm like, no. They give me the money.
$250.
So I go back to
the tenor of the weekend kind of changed.
Everything changed.
Oh.
Because I think we were all in town, we being friends.
Yeah, yeah.
So I go back to the dorm, and I'm like, guys, you will not believe what just happened. And literal disbelief. Like, all right, well, let's start. And so we have to, like, we're just going to blow this money. There was no question of, like, well, obviously, Mike, you're going to put that into a 401k.
Or somehow apply it to your college.
Apply it to your, yeah. Because you're going to owe that.
Nope.
Nope. We're going, we have 48 hours to blow this. And so our first step was, if you'll recall.
Well, I'm not sure what the first step was, but I know that there was a lot of red, white, and blue beer involved.
Sure, that was we had to get that out of the. That was just like
there were pizzas from Luigi's involved.
Yeah, pizzas. I think step two, but okay. I believe like just buying like a crap ton of beer was like
right.
obviously that's right. step number one
because that's
but
just
the Luigi's was step number two, and people
well
like,
and
wait.
Really the beer and pizza table stakes that had to happen.
Right, that was just
that had to happen, and then from there the sky was the limit.
Yeah, that so. The, you know, beer and pizza was like buying livestock when you're like, we're starting a new town or a new colony or something. We need a fresh water source.
Sure.
And we need livestock.
Right.
So beer and pizza was ours. And then it was like, all right, guys.
Now think, what?
Yeah, I think we still have $200 left. So, oh, it's fun to be a moron. We immediately went to a store and bought their most powerful squirt guns.
Absolutely.
As I recall.
Yep, absolutely.
And then I, the one thing that I remember is the round of going to a drive-in.
Mm-hmm.
There was a drive-in down on, if you come into River Falls, you know, you'll have to come from 94, right?
Mm-hmm. I think that drive-in is Valley High. I think it is still open.
Okay.
Maybe. Maybe not.
They will... They're very nice.
Yeah.
They were sweet. It was nice. They gave us, and we're like, just give us, you know, everything.
One of everything.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, having so much money that you can go through a drive-through and just go like, yeah, just whatever. Just give us everything. So these bags are passed through. And then we had the squirt guns. I'm not proud of this. I don't think this is a good thing. But as we left, we just squirted them in the face.
Yeah,
with
well,
guns.
Absolutely.
And it's
yeah.
like. It just was like the dumbest. Like, is this what we do when we get like a little tiny bit of power or money?
Power and money. And as I recall, too, one of the squirt when we went to the drive-in movie later that night, which I think also paid for,
something that weekend, I guarantee I paid for.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. While I cannot remember what movies we might have seen, what I do remember is that. And this is going to horrify you because maybe you don't remember it. What I do remember is that we filled one of the squirt guns with Bartles and James wine cooler and then just like squirted it into our mouths. That's the grossest thing I've ever heard.
That was the most 80s thing I've ever heard. Oh my God. So I'll tell one more thing before I, because this has a sad end. As you all know, this will have a sad end, is that... for some reason, people would still congregate in our green room at college, even on the weekends, because they didn't have any, you know, there's nothing else to do. There was, you know, mirrors and, you know, it's a college.
Couches. And
yeah, there was couches.
A place to hang.
So we took our squirt guns to the green room where we all hung out, and we kicked the door open a la Starsky and Hutch.
Which probably goes over... 90% of your audience right here.
Even for the movie that came out 30 years later.
Yeah. Starsky and Hutch rolled in there and then just doused
everyone. They're like, oh, who are these jerks? It's like, hey, baby, I've got maybe $35 in my pocket now.
Oh, man.
And so that was over, and people were like, those guys suck. We're like, yeah, you bet we do, but we got more money than, well, maybe
not anymore.
No, not anymore. No, I guess we don't have any.
Because I think pooling the money in your pocket and the money in mine, we probably had $37.
Yes.
That 35 that you had, and then whatever I had in my pocket at the time. Yeah.
So then the grand weekend was over.
Yeah, we blew it.
And it was all gone.
Your scholarship.
My scholarship.
Your Sanford Sizey acting, which I think you got. Did you get it for your performance, your seminal performance in Macbeth?
I believe I got it for The Elephant Man.
Oh, for, okay.
So the little cap on the story is that my mom got a letter from the college, like, hey, congratulations, oh, your boy. Son won this Sanford Sizey Acting Award. She's like, oh, she gives me a call. She's like, oh, my goodness, how delightful. What are you going to do with him? Oh, that? And then I had to, like, drag up the shame of, like.
And it's gone.
Yeah, we bought squirt guns and beer and.
Pizza.
Maybe rented a VHS. I can't remember.
Probably all of the above.
Oh, that was my one scholarship.
Well done.
Thank you. I blew it. My scholarship, I blew in a weekend.
Frederick Treves would have been proud.
Oh. I mean, look, we know people, maybe your own child has a scholarship where you get to go to, like, Harvard for a year, you know, 2 years, or free ride for your scholarship. Mine? Squirt guns and beer and pizza and done.
America.
All right. Chris, thank you.
Glad to be here, Mike.